it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He is kind enough to join us a little late today because we had the Jed Hoyer press conference. It is the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk because there is always NFL news happening. Mike Florio. Mike, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. Processing baseball and football at the same time. So thanks for changing your schedule with us. I assume you got lunch a little more on time because of it.
Got to have a normal lunch today, although we almost had a time zone snafu. I saw 12:25 Central. I thought 12:25 Eastern. Thankfully, the meeting that I had for 1 o'clock Eastern today canceled, or I would have had to scramble and pick one or the other. I won't tell you which one would have won the face-off because it didn't come to that.
Fair enough. We'll enjoy the cliffhanger. I would like to start with a follow-up from our previous segment because I think there's a good discussion to be had. Falcons showed up to beat the Bills on Monday Night Football. What do you think of Bijan Robinson's performance and the fact that his head coach said he's the best player in football? I get why he had to say it, but I think there is a fun debate that can be had from this.
Well, Raheem Morris has said multiple times over the past few weeks that Bijan Robinson's the best player in football. My first reaction to that is something I learned from a guy who would go on to become a general manager 20 years ago. Never say that until the guy has signed his next contract, because the agents will save that sound, print it out, laminate it, if they still actually print and laminate things anymore. And that will be an issue guaranteed when it's time to figure out what Bijan Robinson is going to be paid once he becomes eligible for a new contract after this regular season. I mentioned that yesterday on PFT Live to Devin McCourty, and he said whenever anyone from the Patriots would say anything good about him, his agent would send him the link, and it does become fodder, and that's a practical concern. Now, you want to be able to praise your players when they are worthy of praise, but the reality is agents will use that against the team. And that was my first thought. He's going to end up being the highest paid, maybe non-quarterback in the NFL. At a minimum, the highest paid running back, but there's a real gap between the top running back and the top non-quarterback. And Bijan Robinson's agents are going to have fodder to try to get him into that title of the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. And he seems to deserve it. The guy's a touchdown waiting to happen. He gets the ball, and it's like he takes two steps, and he's gained 9 yards. He really is incredible. Even though he doesn't look big, he has that man among boys element where, at times, he is clearly the best guy on the field.
Mike, following the Monday night win for the Bears, I look at the standings, and all of a sudden, it feels like deja vu because I'm looking at a division that with all of its teams above 500, and I thought this would not be the case. Specifically because, well, the Bears have a new head coach, but also because the schedule is so much more difficult for this division this year. What do you make of what the NFC North has provided so far?
Well, it helps that the teams of the AFC North aren't nearly as good as they were supposed to be thanks to the implosion of the Bengals and the Ravens, because that was going to align to be a very difficult schedule difference from last year when I believe it was the NFC West in a down year and the AFC South. That made up half the games, almost, of the teams of the NFC North. This year, the rotation meant AFC North and NFC East, and who knows what the teams of the NFC East are going to be this year. So I think that contributes to it. But I saw those standings as well. The Bears technically last place at 3-2 because the Vikings beat them week one. Yeah, you could have a team with a very good record, possibly a winning record, that ends up in the basement of the NFC North. And the NFC right now, we were talking about this today on PFT Live. The AFC is wide open without a clearly great team right now. The NFC has a lot of very good teams, and a lot of very good teams that are on the outside looking in if it were time to start the playoffs. So could be the NFC's got the better teams this year and it's going to be a meat grinder. But of those four divisions, the NFC North continues to be the best of the bunch, top to bottom.
Well, and it's been amusing, Mike, to watch the you know, the power rankings that come out every week regarding teams, and seeing the Buccaneers' meteoric rise to being at the top of a lot of these lists. What do you think about the Bucs' run so far and their viability come postseason time?
Well, it's hard to put a team at number one that doesn't have any impressive wins. And I thought about the Colts, because when they play a lesser team, usually, now they had an off day with the Cardinals, but still won. But when they beat the Dolphins, they beat the Dolphins. When it was time to play the Raiders, coming off of a tough loss at the Rams, they destroyed the Raiders 40-6. So the Colts are very good right now, and the Colts could end up number one this week. If the Colts beat the Chargers convincingly, and I'm not saying they will, but if they do that and the Lions beat the Buccaneers, I think the Colts end up emerging from this weekend at number one. But it could be that the top two teams lose again and there's a shakeup, and I guess the Lions would vault back to number one. But it's been three different teams now already, from the Eagles to the Lions to the Bucks, and it just feels like one of those years where, at least for now, it's hard to figure out which team is the proverbial juggernaut. And as fans, that's what we want. As people in the business who are semi-expected to know what the hell we're talking about, it makes it a little more challenging.
Okay, so at the other end of the spectrum, we've got people getting fired. Brian Callahan in Tennessee. That organization, from afar, seems like a dumpster fire. You know more than I do about it. What do you see when you see Tennessee?
Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things, and the dysfunction for the worst teams begins at the top of the organization. And the Titans are in that category with the Browns and the Jets and arguably the Dolphins right now, where the chronic dysfunction flows from ownership. And in Tennessee, there's been a perception, if not a reality, that Amy Adams Strunk will have different people who become the ones she'll listen to, and the one who wins the internal, almost Game of Thrones-style competition to see who's going to wrest power from someone else. And right now, Chad Brinker, the president of football operations, who was never even the GM and never went through a Rooney Rule compliance search, all of a sudden, he's in charge. And it felt like Brian Callahan was destined to fail. It felt like both Brinker and GM Mike Borgonzi would be hiring their own coach. But that's what hovers over all of this. It's always half measures. There's never a reset button where everyone is cleared out and the owner is tinkering. There was a report from Terry McCormick of Titan Insider that when Brian Callahan lost his play calling duties a few weeks ago, that wasn't something he decided to do. That was something that people in the coaching staff believe came from ownership. So ownership's allowed to do that. The problem for fans is you have no recourse for bad ownership. You can't fire the owner. You can't have a recall election. You can't force a sale. You're stuck with the owner indefinitely. And no matter what kind of bad decisions the owner makes, no matter how much the team struggles because of the owner's involvement or the owner's decisions, it just continues because there's no accountability for the person at the top of the organization.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking to Mike Florio, the editor-in-chief and creator of Pro Football Talk. And Mike, one of the things we discussed yesterday, kind of akin to what you were saying about how to figure out which teams are good right now, is the NFL seems incredibly wide open, even compared to years past. You know, how would you describe what you're seeing about hierarchy taking place and who we know to be good is surprising? Obviously, the Ravens come to mind in this discussion, but just the like.
Well, there's always a time, and I missed it this year. I wasn't thinking of it when week five hit. I call it Correction Sunday, where all the things that we thought we figured out based on the first month of the season are proven to be inaccurate. The problem is the correction has lasted now. The Bills have lost two games in a row. The Eagles have lost two games in a row. You look at what the Bills have done. How impressive is it? They have four wins against teams that are combined 3-21, and three of those games that the Bills won could have gone either way. So how good are the good teams? Who are the really good teams? And all of this turmoil is opening the door for the Chiefs to reestablish themselves, because if things stay close, they still have Patrick Mahomes, and they have more experience than anyone else when it comes to high-pressure, must-win games, especially single-elimination games. They've never had a worse finish under Mahomes in 8 years as a starter. This is year number eight. They've never been worse than an overtime loss in the AFC Championship, which is just mind-boggling. That's happened twice. They made it to the Super Bowl five times. And the more everything packs together, the more plausible it is to see the Chiefs doing exactly what they did. They may not be the one seed this year. The Steelers are looking pretty good, and who knows if they'll continue this. Maybe the Colts, maybe the Jaguars, maybe the Bills get together. The Patriots are looking good. But yeah, it really is wide open, and there aren't many teams that you can write off at this point. The Jets, yes. The Dolphins, yes. Hell, the Saints have been close in enough games that they could get hot and start rattling off some wins. So it does make for a fun season. And as Bill Belichick says, football season starts at Thanksgiving. I think there's a chance somebody that's right around 500 finds the gas pedal then and carries it through December into January.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because we all remember what happened on Thanksgiving Day here in Chicago. But I want to ask you about Mike Tomlin's comments on Monday, talking about the Browns trading Joe Flacco to the Bengals. And he said it was shocking to him. And he said, quote, "Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings," end quote. Are you shocked that Mike Tomlin went public with all this?
I am. And look, I think the easiest explanation is he'd rather be facing Jake Browning on Thursday night than Joe Flacco, a guy that has a long history with Mike Tomlin. Last year, as the Steelers were getting ready to play the Colts week four, Tomlin said this himself a few weeks ago. He told the players, "Go easy on Anthony Richardson. Don't get him injured. We don't want to face Joe Flacco. We'd rather face the younger quarterback." So Tomlin doesn't want to mess with Flacco. And I think from Tomlin's perspective, he'd rather Joe Flacco still be in Cleveland on the bench. And, you know, for the Browns, the reality is they make their decisions based on analytics. They're one of the teams that has embraced analytics in every way possible. How's that worked out for them? Not too good. But when you have an opportunity to trade a guy that you're done with, that's not going to start for you anymore, and you don't care if you don't have him around to play in a pinch, you upgrade a draft pick. You send him and a sixth-round pick. You get a fifth-round pick. It could be a high fifth-round pick because of how bad the Bengals are this year. That's all they care about, building for the future. But it does hurt the Steelers, because now they have to play the Bengals twice, and they'll definitely see Joe Flacco for one of those two games.
Mike Florio, thanks as always for joining us, and thanks for moving your schedule around today.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem. My pleasure. Have a good week.
That's Mike Florio. He is the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, and always has a good pulse on what is happening in the league. I said it before, and I will say it again. You heard Jed Hoyer. We had a lot of texts earlier and a lot of comments on our Twitch chat. So we want to know, what do you think of what Jed Hoyer had to say today? 312-644-6767. Marshall and I will get into some of what we think as well, but we want to make sure we hear from you. So we open the phones. We do that next. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.